Right now, research started in Iowa looks at the possible benefits of prairie plantings in agricultural fields.
The study also looked at what types of native plants were the most beneficial, what effect they would have on issues like soil erosion, and what the financial impacts were as well.
Lisa Schulte Moore is a professor of natural resource ecology and management at Iowa State University. She studies human-landscape interactions in agricultural and forestry settings. Lisa, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Where did the idea for this project come from?
It actually originated my first semester here at Iowa State University, which was the fall of 2003. And we're looking for ways. I mean, we knew that row crop agriculture here in the Midwest is already great in terms of sort of the production and production efficiency, but also that there are a lot of unintended negative environmental consequences associated with how we produce all those crops. And so it was really generated from the perspective of how can we make what's already good better? And basically, the idea of integrating prairie into crop fields was trying to take what was once this, one of this region's, you know, historically dominant ecosystems, tallgrass prairie, and being really strategic about putting it in crop fields to improve our currently dominant ecosystem in the region, which is row crop agriculture.
Can you really quickly explain what row crops are for those who might not be aware?
Yeah, so here in Iowa, where I'm at, it tends to be corn and soybeans. So, but in other areas, you know, it could be melons. It could be anything that is grown in a row and where the soil is in between the rows is bare, basically.
This integration of prairie and these row crops, where have you tested this out so far?
We originally tested the idea here in Iowa, 12 small corn soybean catchments located in central Iowa. And by small, I mean the areas that we were looking at this were between about one acre and 8 acres in size. We collected some really compelling data, which meant that farmers started coming forward and saying, you know, I like what I'm seeing and I want to try this on my farm. And so now we're working on a suite of over 30 farms across primarily Iowa, but also into Missouri and with partners into Wisconsin and Michigan. And there we're looking at really the commercial production scale. So I think maybe the smallest, you know, field is going to be something around 18, 20 acres. And we're working on some fields that are quite large, like 120 acres in size.
With this method, you know, integrating this prairie system, it seems that now that it's sort of gotten off the ground, no pun intended, it seems that farmers are kind of more eager to integrate this. What does this, you know, look like on just an average farm?
Yeah, basically what a prairie strip is, it's a narrow strip of perennial plant cover composed of native grasses and forbs. And when we place these, we really are strategic in terms of, you know, establishing them around a hill slope in a crop field or at the base of a hill slope, also considering areas that are already a lower producing on average anyway. And, yeah, planting those strips of prairie within and on the edge of the crop field, one of our goals with this is to basically, you know, when a raindrop falls and it starts moving across the soil surface, we want to be able to intercept and basically treat every single drop of water that's going to be flowing across that field with the idea that we want to, you know, slow the movement of that water down so it's less erosive to the soils on that crop field to begin with. We want that water to infiltrate into the soil and be taken up by the plants and the nutrients that are moving with that water to be used by those plants rather than running off into our waterways. And then sort of a third goal with it, with the native diverse perennials, is providing more habitat for our native wildlife.
So I want to get to the sort of ecological look in just a moment, but what methods are being used right now to prevent soil erosion? This isn't anything new, but what methods are already in place?
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, we've been working on the issue of soil erosion since we started farming row crops, basically since we plowed up the prairie in this region. We've been trying to keep soils in place. And, you know, the common method that farmers will use are going to be terraces. Also, another thing that once folks see they're starting to have an erosion problem, they might put in a grass waterway to help armor that soil and keep that soil in place more with the roots in the ground. Other methods, contour buffer strips just composed of non-native perennial grasses. The one that we commonly use here in Iowa is brome. I assume that's also in Wisconsin. If you move further south, they primarily use a plant called fescue. So those are some of the methods. Also, those are vegetative and infrastructural methods, but also changes in the tillage. So farmers will try to reduce the level of the amount of tillage that they would use in their fields to farm their crops to reduce soil erosion.
Lisa Schulte-Moore is a professor of natural resource ecology and management at Iowa State University. She studies human-landscape interactions in agricultural and forestry settings, and she's with us right now to talk about a 10-year-long study that looks at the benefits of integrating strips of prairie land with row crops such as corn and soy. And so throughout this conversation, Lisa, you know, we've been talking about the benefits of how these strips of prairie land can work with farms. We've talked about terraces and how those have been used to alleviate soil erosion. Economically, how does this shake out for farmers?
Basically, if you look at the economics, prairie strips are cheaper than terraces and similar to cover crops in terms of their cost. When we look at it, if you just look at the acre of land that they would convert to prairie, it costs between about $280 and $390 per acre per year. If you look at it on that whole crop field level, because basically we're trying to, you know, protect that whole crop field from the forces of rain and water and keep soil in place, if you would look at it at that scale, the cost would come down to about $28 to $39 per acre per year. And that's assuming that about 10% of the field would go into the actual prairie strip practice. Most of that cost is actually not out-of-pocket cost, but it's associated with that potential for lost crop income. And thus it varies based on what a farmer's expected yields are and what crop prices are going to be. Also, if a farmer or farmland owner is able to get a rental payment through the USDA Conservation Reserve Program on those prairie strip acres, that cost comes down substantially to about $8 per protected acre per year. So while, you know, it's not free, right?
Sure.
It's not one of the more costly practices when it comes to the total cost of agriculture. One more thing I'll mention is we oftentimes get a lot of flack from some folks because in these numbers that I'm providing to you, we aren't actually accounting for the value of that soil or the nutrients to the farm and also the protection of water quality. This is something that we're working on with the economists on the team are working on trying to develop these estimates right now. But those analyses are more complicated, so we need more time to develop those results. So stay tuned on that.
And what kind of prairie plants have you looked at specifically? I know you touched on it a little bit earlier, but what plants have yielded the best sort of outcomes?
Right. So we're looking at a whole prairie community and not really separating it out by species. A few key things about what we've planted and are recommending in our plantings to farmers and farmland owners is that they're going to want a mixture of species, including what we call warm season grasses. Those are grasses that are active during the warmest part of the summer. Cool season grasses, as their name implies, in spring and early summer, they're much more active. And then some component of wildflowers. And we want to have some redundancy, so multiple species of warm season grasses. These would be things like big blue stem and little blue stem, Indian grass, for example. We want multiple species of those because some do better in certain sites and in certain years, multiple of the cool season and multiple of the forbs. with the forest, what we're trying to do is have something in bloom throughout the entire growing season, from early spring into late fall. And that's because part of our motivation with planting these prairie strips is to also be able to better support our pollinator populations. And they need forage, you know, throughout that whole growing season. And so with the prairie strips, we're trying to provide that forage. Now, how many total species? We've sort of targeted something in that 30 species range on most in most of our work. However, some of the farmers that we're working with, they said, you know, pollinators are great, but I'm really just interested in keeping my soil. And in that case, they probably don't need so many species. And they've planted a 15-species mix, which is a lot cheaper. In other cases, we've had farmers that are just like, yeah, I'm super concerned about the pollinators, and I want to encourage as much wild diversity on my farm as possible. And so we've had one farmer actually plant 150 species on his farm.
There seems to be interest from farmers on this. Where do you hope to expand this project next?
Well, one of the things I'm excited about right now is we're actually, because our team, we have had trouble sort of meeting the demand of farmland, farmers and farmland owners in terms of helping them do this. We're right now engaged in a set of trainings to train what we call technical service providers, people that work with farmers to implement practices on farms to actually implement prairie strips the way we have. And so far, 38 other people have gone through these trainings, including 7 in Wisconsin. And now there's groups that are actively, these folks are actively engaging farmers and farmland landowners on implementing prairie strips. A couple of those that are active in Wisconsin include the Sand County Foundation and the Valley Stewardship Network. One thing I'm also excited about is that there's something of a push to install prairie strips on the University of Wisconsin's research and demonstration farms right now. And this will be great because it will make people in your state, for example, come easier for them to come and see and experience, learn about the practice, and see if it really makes sense for their farms.
Well, Lisa, we'll have to leave it there for now. Lisa, thank you so much for joining us today.
You bet. Thanks for the opportunity.
Lisa Schulte Moore is a professor of natural resource ecology and management at Iowa State University. She joined us to talk about the benefits of strips of native prairie land for farms.